You know that feeling? You're pouring absolutely everything into your business, right? Late nights, all the effort, and growth just feels, well, stuck.
Yeah, like hitting an invisible wall. It's frustrating.
Totally. And today, we're going to dig into maybe an overlooked reason why that happens. It might actually be about who you're selling to.
That's right. We're looking at the core ideas from an Alex Hormozi YouTube video. It's called Business Was Hard Until I Learned This.
Great title.
It really suggests a big shift, doesn't it? And we want to kind of unpack that perspective change he talks about.
Exactly. So forget the usual growth hacks for a second. Hormozi's main point is actually pretty simple, almost surprisingly so. Sometimes the biggest thing holding you back isn't your strategy, it's your customers,
Yeah.
the actual people you're serving.
So our mission here in this deep dive is really to give you, the listener, a different lens to look at your customer base, to understand how maybe being a bit more selective.
A lot more selective, potentially. Right, how that could be the key to unlocking, real sustainable growth. We're pulling out the key insights from Hormozi's experience to help you avoid some common and pretty costly traps.
Okay.
So let's start there. What exactly does Hormozi mean by these less than ideal customers? He uses the term sucky customers, I think.
Yeah, he does, which is blunt, but it gets the point across. He uses this really good example. Agency owners. Think social media marketing agencies selling to small businesses, maybe charging around, say, $1,500 a month.
Okay, I know the type.
Right. And often these agencies, they see some initial success. They help their clients maybe hit that, $1 million, maybe $3 million a year revenue mark. But then things just plateau for both the agency and the client.
Oh,
And the
come.
business owners start wondering, okay, how do we scale more? And the big realization, according to Hormozi, isn't about how to scale, like the tactics. It's about the fundamental limits of who they're selling to.
That makes a lot of sense when you think about small businesses. I mean, that $1,500 or $2,500 a month, that can be a big chunk of change for them.
Huge.
Yeah.
So Hormozi points out the minute they have a bad month, financially speaking, marketing is often the very first thing on the chopping block.
Even though that's exactly when you shouldn't cut it if you want growth.
Exactly. It's counterproductive. He kind of frames it as a common small business owner mistake, maybe a bit direct, but it highlights this difference in maybe financial cushion and long-term thinking.
Yeah, resilience.
Resilience, good word. He uses this analogy. Trying to build a really solid, lasting business, mainly by serving these very small businesses, it's like building a castle on sand.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
Looks okay at first, right?
Yeah.
But when things get tough, like an economic downturn, that base just washes away, and your growth stalls or even reverses.
Oh, it's inherently unstable.
Very. And these smaller clients, they often need more than just your core service. They might need help with getting leads or their sales process or even figuring out their pricing.
So you end up doing way more than just, say, social media posts.
Right. You almost end up having to help build their business for them, which pulls your focus, your resources away from scaling your own business.
Okay, now here's a term Hormozi uses that really caught my attention. Structural churn. Can you break that down?
Yeah, structural churn. It's basically when customers leave, not because they hate your service, not because you messed up,
Okay.
but because of things core to their business, their reality. Gives this really powerful example of a friend who built a CRM specifically for gyms.
Right, like a core tool for them.
Exactly. You'd think retention would be super high, right?
Right.
But the reality was they consistently saw about 3% churn every single month.
3% a month. Wow. Why?
Not because the gyms didn't like the CRM. It was simply because, statistically, about 3% of gyms were going out of business each month.
Oh, right. Nothing the CRM company could do about that.
Absolutely nothing. And that 3% monthly churn, it puts a hard ceiling on your potential retention. In that
Yeah.
gym example, even if they did everything perfectly, they'd still lose almost a third of their customers every year just because gyms close.
So it's baked into the market you're serving.
It's baked in. It shows this fundamental limit when your model relies on lots of clients who are themselves, well, a bit vulnerable financially or operationally. Even perfect service can't stop external factors hitting their business, which then hits your churn rate.
So it's not always about your performance. It could just be the nature of your clientele.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And a Hormozi contrasts this with, say, high touch, really custom services versus more templated or DIY solutions.
Right.
The custom stuff. That usually works best for higher end clients. They can afford it, they value it. But the really small businesses, they often can't afford the deep help they actually need. And trying to give it to them cheaply, Well, that's not really your job, and it's probably not a sustainable model for you.
Oh, okay.
He argues this middle ground is often where the real problems lie.
That middle ground, like mid-price services for these smaller, perhaps more volatile customers, why is that so tricky?
Yeah, several things pile up. Hormozi points out, first, short customer lifespans. They just don't stick around long.
High churn, back to that.
High churn. Then they often need a ton of support, way more than you'd expect for the price they're paying. So they eat up your team's time and resources.
Disproportionately so.
Totally. And price sensitivity is huge. Always looking for discounts, questioning the value, and maybe the most frustrating part, they can still be unhappy, even if you bend over backwards for them. Often because their expectations weren't realistic for that price point in the first place.
Sounds like a recipe for burnout, a constant uphill battle.
It really is. And this pressure can lead to, you know, overpromising in the sales process just to get them in the door.
Which sets everyone up for failure later.
Exactly. Creates this negative cycle. And Hormozi also hits on a key point. The danger of knowingly signing clients you know are going to be difficult. Just because you need the cash to pay bills right now.
The short-term fix that causes long-term pain.
Yeah, it almost always backfires down the road.
Okay, so we've painted a pretty clear picture of these less-than-ideal customers and why serving them is so hard. But let's really connect the dots. Why does this matter so much for the basic health, the profitability of a business?
Right, this is where you see the hit on the numbers, the key metrics. Hormozi explains how the wrong customer types really mess with your KPIs. First off, lifetime value LTV. It tanks.
Because they leave quickly.
Right. They don't stay long enough to become really profitable.
Yeah.
At the same time, your customer acquisition cost, your CAC, often goes up.
Might up.
Well, you're constantly spending money and effort to replace the ones who churn out. Plus, managing these demanding, lower-paying clients takes more operational effort, more support time, which adds to your overall costs. So higher CAC, lower LTV. That naturally means a longer payback period.
How long it takes to actually make back the money you spent acquiring them.
Exactly. So you're spending more to get customers who stay for less time and give you less money overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a drain.
A huge drain on resources, yeah.
And it goes beyond just the financials. Hormozi talks about price compression. This constant pressure to lower your prices because these maybe less sophisticated buyers, they often just compare based on price, not value.
Eroding your margins.
Yep. And then there's team morale. Think about it. Dealing with that constant revolving door of demanding, often unhappy customers, it leads to burnout. It feels like your team's hard work isn't leading anywhere lasting.
I can absolutely see that. It would be incredibly demoralizing.
For sure. And then think about the opportunity cost. What could your business achieve if all that time, energy, and resources were focused on serving ideal customers? People who get value, appreciated, and stick around.
Yeah, what else could you be building?
Right. Hormozi also flags the potential damage to your reputation. You might get volume initially by maybe overpromising.
Mm-hmm.
But when those promises don't really pan out long term for these less ideal clients, they're often the ones who shout the loudest with negative feedback.
Yeah.
And negative word of mouth. Well, it tends to travel faster and hit harder than positive reviews.
Oof, yeah. That negative buzz can really hurt future efforts to attract better clients.
Exactly. Hormozi notes that your cost to acquire any customer can actually creep up over time, even if things like ad costs stay the same. It's this unseen pressure from maybe a damaged reputation or just needing to constantly find new leads, often less qualified ones, to replace the churn.
So it all ties together.
It does. Lower LTV, higher CAC, longer payback, strained cash flow.
Yeah.
It all severely limits your ability to grow and scale sustainably.
Okay, so the problem's clear. The negative impacts are clear. It's a drag on growth. What can a business owner actually do about this? How do you shift gears?
Well, Hormozi suggests this realization often hits around what he calls stage four of business growth.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a small team, maybe some early managers emerging.
Okay.
And a really common bottleneck at this stage is just too many unqualified leads coming in. The solution, he argues, involves deliberately shifting towards a better customer profile.
Making a conscious change.
Yeah. Things like refining your free content, your lead magnets, so they attract the right people. Implementing stricter qualification steps, actually filtering people out. Maybe specializing your service more, niching down. And crucially, adjusting your pricing to reflect the real value you deliver to that more specific ideal customer.
That sounds like a pretty big strategic shift. But Hormozi acknowledges it's tough emotionally, right? Especially if you have bills, payroll, a team already built for the current customer.
Oh, absolutely. It can feel super risky. You've got immediate financial needs.
Yeah.
The thought of potentially losing revenue, even short term, is scary.
Yeah.
But Hormozi is really forceful on this. Sticking with the wrong customers, that path leads to shrinking margins and maybe even the business failing eventually anyway.
So inaction is also risky.
Very risky. But shifting focus to better fit customers, that can actually reverse all those negative trends we talked about. You'll likely see LTV go up. CAC might go up initially, but it becomes more efficient because the LTV is higher, so your LTV.CK ratio improves dramatically. Your reputation improves, team morale gets better, payments become more reliable, your overall cash flow gets healthier.
Oh, you can probably charge more, right? If you're delivering real value to clients who can actually afford it and benefit from it.
Exactly. That's a huge unlock. When you serve customers who truly get massive value and can pay for it, you can often significantly increase your prices. The main goal, Hormozi stresses, is finding that customer segment where you can deliver the most possible value.
Makes sense.
But he doesn't sugarcoat the emotional side of the transition. You might realize you're overstaffed for the old model, meaning potential layoffs. There's uncertainty about whether the new focus will work. And, you know, ego can be tied up in current revenue numbers, even if they come from problematic clients.
Yeah, letting go of that top line number can be hard, even if the bottom line is suffering. He uses that analogy, right? Reaching a local maximum.
Yeah, like you've climbed a hill, but it's not the highest mountain. And to get to the bigger peak, you might have to go down a bit first to find the right path up.
Go down to go back up. I like that. It captures that temporary discomfort for long-term gain.
And it reinforces the idea that if you don't change, you're likely going to slide down anyway.
Yeah.
So being proactive, even if it feels like a step back initially, is crucial.
Okay, so let's get tactical. What are the concrete steps Hormozi lays out for actually fixing this?
Right, the how-to first step. Customer profitability analysis. Really digging into your data.
Okay. What exactly are we looking for in that analysis?
You need to comb through your existing customer records. Identify who have been the most profitable and who got the best results from working with you. Look at their characteristics, what type of business, what size, what were they doing before they signed up? And super important, what specific positive things happened after they became your client?
Trying to find the pattern of success.
Exactly. The goal is to find the 80-20 in your customer base, that small group driving most of the good outcomes and profit.
Got it. Find the gems.
Find the gems. Then, once you have that clear picture, step two is redefine your ideal customer profile, ICP, your customer avatar. Use that analysis to build a really detailed, specific description of the exact customer you want to target from now on.
Okay, get super clear on who you're aiming for.
Super clear. Because that clarity drives step three, realigning your business positioning and messaging, everything you offer, your website headlines, your case studies, your onboarding, your sales script. Everything needs to be tweaked to attract and resonate with that new ICP.
And that means being willing to say no.
Yes. Being willing, even eager, to turn away people who don't fit that ideal profile. Hormozi uses the example of big ad agencies like Ogilvy and Mather.
Sure.
They don't take on small local pizza shops, right? They know exactly who their client is.
Right. They're focused. Moving from maybe a shotgun approach to a laser focus.
Perfect analogy. Step four is pricing. Your price needs to match the value you deliver to that ideal customer, which likely means raising prices compared to what the less ideal clients were paying, because the value delivered is higher and the client can support it.
Reflecting the actual value exchange.
Exactly. And finally, step five, the transition. This is the gradual shift away from those less profitable, maybe more difficult customers, the ones he calls brokies.
How do you manage that transition practically?
It might mean setting temporary quotas for your sales team, like no more than X percent of new deals this month can be below this price point. The goal is to slowly shrink the proportion of bad fit customers while growing the proportion of good fit ones until the good ones are the vast majority, and eventually you can just stop serving the bad fit segment altogether.
He also tackles the really tough part, potential layoffs during this shift, doesn't he?
Yeah, he faces it head on. He frames it as, look, this might be a consequence of earlier strategic mistakes, maybe hiring too many people to service low-value clients. It's a necessary correction to keep the business alive long term.
That's a hard truth.
It is. But he stresses handling it with respect, with empathy. Offer severance if you possibly can. It's important for your reputation, and maybe you can even rehire those great people later when the business is healthier.
Right. Treat people well, even in tough times.
Absolutely. He wraps this section up by saying, look, this transition, it's hard, no doubt, but it leads to renewed growth, much better cash flow, and a business model that's actually sustainable because you're focused on customers who are far less likely to churn. The core problem is often that leaky bucket, right? High churn. Focusing on the right customers is how you plug the biggest holes.
Okay, so bringing it all home, the core message is just crystal clear, isn't it? Focusing on the right customer, not just any customer, is absolutely fundamental for sustainable growth. It's how you get off that treadmill of serving volatile, low-value clients.
Yeah, the big takeaway for you listening is really do the work to understand who your ideal customer actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you provide the most value to? And who, in return, brings stability and value to your business.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to align everything around attracting and serving that customer.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be willing to make those tough calls, those necessary changes to move away from the ones holding you back.
So as you're listening, maybe take a second. Think about your current customer base. Are you, maybe without even realizing it, building that castle on sand? What's one small thing, maybe, you could do today to start attracting a slightly more ideal client? Maybe it really is time to just look at your customer data again, but with this new perspective.
Yeah, definitely. And just remember, building a great, resilient business, it's always about learning, adapting, recognizing when a big strategic shift is needed, like who you serve.
Yeah.
That's actually a sign of maturity, and it's often the critical step towards real long-term success and, frankly, profitability.